Hello, I'm Lauren Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management. Thanks for listening to the Mobility Management podcast. And today I'm joined by Brett Tracy and Joshua Haynes from Merit's Health Products to discuss fresh perspectives in power wheelchair design. Brett Tracy is Vice President of Sales for Merit's Health Products. Brett is a certified ATP and has more than 23 years of experience in complex rehab technology and durable medical equipment. Brett loves advocating for end-user access to CRT and has attended several Washington, D.C. fly-ins for just exactly that purpose. He's also served on the board of directors with the ALS Association's Nevada and South Carolina chapters, and Brett has served on the boards of NAMPS, CAMPS, AZ Mesa, and AA Home Care's Rehab Council. Brett is also currently serving on the NCART board. Josh Haynes is Director of Research and Development for Merit's Health Products. Josh has more than 22 years of experience in complex rehab in roles ranging from senior electrical designer to product manager on the development of the Roe v. Power wheelchair. His position as a seating technician gave Josh an eye-opening real-world education that translates to his work today. Josh focuses on high-quality design for both the user experience and the ease of technical service. And the Avid Axel power chair is an example of his hard work. Our podcast today is sponsored by Merit's Health Products. Merit's Health Products was established in 1995 as a subsidiary of Merit's Health Products headquartered in Taiwan. The recipient of numerous awards and business quality certifications, Merit's is driven to enable independence and accessibility for all by providing life-enhancing, high-quality solutions and producing high-quality mobility products that support people in living their lives to the fullest. Brett and Josh, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for joining me.
Lori, thank you so much. Josh and I are delighted to be on your podcast. It was awesome seeing you in person at ISS, where we first started talking about this opportunity. So thank you so much for allowing us to be on today.
You bet. It was beyond great to see you at ISS. I think everybody was kind of feeling that way. We're going to talk today, as I mentioned, about power wheelchair design, which is a complicated topic. It feels like manufacturers have so many different stakeholders to consider. So first, there's the clinicians who want to optimize function and achieve the best positioning for their clients. But there are also the consumers and caregivers who want ease of use and are very likely concerned, for instance, about the size of the footprint of the power chair or how transportable that power chair is, plus how much range the chair has. Then there's the provider who wants a power chair that's easy to set up in service, especially as repairs are such a sore spot right now for power wheelchair users. And of course, there's the funding source who wants to get as much function and durability as possible while paying as little as possible. In the case of Medicare, that funding is even more restrictive because Medicare only pays for equipment used in the home and doesn't really consider a power chair that needs to go out into the community. Their funding does not consider that criterion. So you, as the manufacturer, as representing the manufacturer today, you have a lot of different demands thrown at you. So we'll start there. As manufacturers answering to so many different stakeholders, how do you determine which of all of these requests to prioritize and which requests are the most important to you and why?
Lori, I'll answer that. Our first priority is always making a clinically sound product. It has to work for the patient through the eyes of the clinician. A second to that, it also has to meet a price point that's profitable for both the manufacturer and the dealer, or that equipment just is not utilized, unfortunately, in the U.S. market. But then there's also the down-the-road service cost. There's a lot of chairs I see out there that have really big motor packages or really fancy electronics as their standard equipment package. But then you look at what Medicare pays for a motor is, you know, $684. If that dealer cost on a motors 800 or 900, well, the dealer's not going to be very happy down the road when they pass that bill on to the client, if they even can pass that on to the client. So definitely a lot of stakeholders to look at when you're designing the product.
Now let's narrow those many different needs and requests to a real life example. And the real life example we're going to use in this case is Avid Rehab's new Axtel Power Wheelchair, Avid Rehab being a division, the rehab division of Merit's Health Products. So in a previous conversation, as Brett referenced, we talked about the Axtel being the result of mindful design. So my question is, what were your design and engineering priorities when you were creating the Axtel? And can you give me some examples of how you took specific feedback from stakeholders and turned that into specific functions, features, and options on this new power chair?
Medicare pays for a chair that stays indoors, but we all know that people live their lives outside of the apartment, and the world is not ADA compliant. So when people go outside in their chairs, certain components such as tires, batteries and battery life and range, as well as motors, can all take a hit. So we do our best to design for real world usage, but we know that these products need to be serviced just like a car or a truck. So for the Axtel, we planned from the start to make service or replacement of these components uncomplicated. The easier a part is to replace, the faster a user can get back to living their life. Take suspension, for example. A lot of people say that they have suspension on their product, but do they really? The goal of the suspension is, one, to climb obstacles and descend them safely, but the other is really to cushion rough terrain, sidewalk bumps, all of those things that a person would encounter in their normal daily use, so that doesn't negatively impact the user. We know if they get jostled or bumped out, then they have to reposition themselves. That can also affect and trigger tone and spasticity. So for the Axtel, we really wanted to step up our suspension to maximize that user experience. So we actually built in a oil dampened shock with some noise isolation. And we also included improved dual density tires with a gel insert. And both of those together combined for a comfortable, smooth, and quiet ride.
Okay, Josh, you just said a comfortable suspension, one of your big goals. But I wanted to also just emphasize that as a manufacturer, you do Group 2 chairs as well. There is a big difference, right, in the suspension in a Group 2 chair and what that's expected to do versus a Group 3 chair where you have someone who's in it probably for lots longer. And as you said, somebody who maybe has problems, right, repositioning themselves if they get bumped out of place. So maybe the Group 2 user, it's a little bit easier for them to stay stable or reposition themselves independently, very quickly, no big deal, versus somebody in a Group 3 chair, if they get bumped, they're going over a broken sidewalk, they get bumped even a little bit out of position. Is it fair to say that that could be a real problem for them?
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. Depending on the kind of positioning products that they've got at their disposal to help them maintain good posture, if you don't have something that can absorb those bumps and reduce that movement, it can absolutely be a problem. And if they're not educated in how to properly reposition themselves, we try to hedge the negative effects of that at the start.
Okay, because that could be a lot harder for them to reposition themselves versus perhaps a Group 2 user, or maybe they even need a caregiver to help them, right?
Correct. Yep, absolutely. You oftentimes have to go through your tilt cycle to get pressure relief and sometimes have your caregiver help reposition you back into the right spot so that you've got correct trunk alignment and all of that.
Okay. I'm going to cheat a little bit because we have talked a little bit about the Axtel at ISS. So I'm going to throw in another question about how easy it is for the service technician to be able to be familiar with the chair, be able to get in and out of that service call. I know that when we talked in the past, being able to, for instance, just take in a 4-millimeter Allen key, I think it was, and be able to just pretty much be able to take that in, not constantly be running back to the van or having to go back to get other tools and then drive back to the consumer. You mentioned that was a huge priority for you, just because while we always, of course, think of the caregivers and the consumers as our top priority, we also, on a realistic level, have to make sure that the service technicians are considered as well, right? Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely true. When I was a tech there for a little bit, which was a very educational and eye-opening experience, which I was very grateful for, you carry in a very heavy tool bag and you wind up using three wrenches out of the whole thing. So if we can have a chair where you use maybe one or two Allen wrenches or T-handles that you can take in, you're very familiar with the product, easy access to the batteries without having to move the end user, that all makes a very busy tech day a lot easier.
Okay, so you were actually, am I getting it right in saying that you were also actually concerned about the consumer being able to stay in the chair for some of these repairs?
Absolutely. If your batteries are still working, but they're not lasting as long as they used to, you might want to do a quick swap out of batteries. In the Excel, your end user can actually stay in the chair without having to transfer and then having to move it elsewhere. The access is that simple.
And that's important because moving someone out of a Group 3 chair can be a task, right? We may have to get
Absolutely.
A lift. We may have to get a caregiver or two. And then where are we going to put that person? Because that person's not, wherever we put them is not going to be well positioned as they would in their chair, which is now in pieces on the kitchen floor. So you're going to have to move them to a beanbag chair or bed or something like that, and then reverse the whole process later, right? Where more caregiver help and everything. Yep. So that is huge that you considered, look, we want to be able to, with these smaller repairs or maybe during the diagnostic process, we want to be able to keep that consumer in the chair if that's possible. So that's kind of amazing that that was part of your thought process.
We really did our best to consider the user experience in total, not just for everyday usage, but for simple repairs and comfort adjustments, all of that to make their life easier.
I love that. The consumer experience also includes that portion. It's not just when they're driving around when everything is fine, but you're also trying to make the consumer experience excellent when they do need service, which, as you pointed out, all chairs are going to need service. You know, I know that preventive maintenance isn't always paid for, but all chairs are going to need service to stay their best. So I guess my next question would be what you learned from the engineering choices you made when you were designing the XL. So what power chair factors, features, or benefits do you think are the most important to clinicians, providers, and especially consumers and caregivers now, but also what features and benefits and factors will be most important for those stakeholders going forward?
Lori, I'll tackle that question. When we launched Avid Rehab, we were trying to look at the full user experience. One of the ones that we identified is that a lot of the users of Group 3 chairs have consumer vans that they either own or they use for transportation. So all of our Avid chairs are pre-drilled for easy lock or Q-strength. That allows them to just easily mount that on the bottom. Whereas other chairs on the market, you're having to weld the device on the bottom just to put the bracket. Ours are pre-drilled. Another huge feature that every end user will need and use is lights. All of our Avid chairs lights are standard. You know, we all have our phones, and I think the number one feature on our phones is turning on that flashlight when you're entering a dark room or when it gets dark, when we fall back in the fall. But lights are standard on all of our chairs. So these are all just features that we've built into the chair.
Okay, so I'm going to touch on the lighting a little bit, because it would seem to me that if you are just keeping your wheelchair inside your home, that you probably wouldn't need a big lighting package, or you wouldn't use your wheelchair lights that much just in the home. Maybe, as you said, if you're going into the bedroom and it's dark in there, sure. But lighting certainly is also another one of those features, along with maybe longer battery life, that really that's important if we want to support the consumer as they go out into the community, right? So if you're going to be outdoors, a little bit more visible with the lights, a little bit easier for other people to see you, maybe car drivers to see you as well, if you've got that lighting package. So is that also what you were considering? Not just going into the bathroom in the dark, but also the reality of going into the community?
Absolutely. Yeah, all aspects of it. If you're going down a sidewalk at night, and sometimes it gets dark at 6 o'clock at night, you're just leaving work. You know, you're not driving in the middle of the night. You're just trying to get home from school or work, and you want to be visible on the sidewalk. So nice, bright rear red lights, as well as some lights that light up, and they're integrated into the fenders. These are lights that aren't mounted on top of the fenders where they're easily, you know, damaged or broken, but they're integrated into the chair.
And you also said that your chairs are prepared, come from the factory, prepared for easy lock or Q-strain. Once again, if we're just keeping the wheelchair inside the house, we don't have to worry so much about easy lock and Q-strain. But it sounds like, once again, you, even though the funding, Medicare funding, really looks at in the home usage, you are again looking and supporting your consumers as they go out into the community, and you are recognizing that they might be in wheelchair vans. They might be on public transit, right? Where they'll be on a bus or a subway and they want to tie down or be more secure. So again, that sounds like a situation where, yes, Medicare pays for in the home funding. Merit's Health Products is thinking of the reality of going out into the community.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You would definitely, if you were only going to use this chair in the home, you would not need that high level of oil dampening suspension that we're putting on there and the dual density gel lined tires. These are all features for definitely once you leave your front door.
But then at the same time, you also had to think of the actual in the home usage, right? So you had to be concerned about maneuverability and footprint and those sorts of factors, because they're not only going to use it on a huge college campus, they also need to be able to turn around in the kitchen. So it just sounds like you have to consider everything at once. I'm kind of awestruck right now, because it just sounds like you have to consider so many factors all at the same time. Is that what your day is like when you're designing a power chair?
Yeah, Lori. From my early days in this industry, I've been preaching the same thing. When you are picking a chair for a client, there are three factors that you have to consider. You have to consider their indoor maneuverability, their outdoor maneuverability, and their transportation. And there are many times where you don't get to solve all of them, but you have to weigh which is more important. You might give up your outdoor performance if you live in a very tiny house and you need a very narrow chair with small wheels and radius. But if you live out on a farm, there might be some features you give up to make the outdoor maneuverability and transportation. I always remind it, our ATPs and our dealers, you've got to ask that, because that's great that you get them the perfect chair that fits them. But if you don't know how they live their lives, are they going on a bus? Are they going on a subway? Do they have a van that they need to drive into? A real large chair is not going to get into a handicap accessible van. You're going to need to be able to go up a ramp, clear your head, and then be able to turn around and then exit again. These are all questions that have to be answered. And many times they're not fully answered to the max on all sides.
Josh, would you like to comment? Because it just seems that this is an impossible job. I mean, you are just having to consider consumers who live in tiny apartments, consumers who live in large rural areas, inside, outside. And when you're designing that chair, you're not designing it specifically to one person. You have to make it accessible as possible to include everyone, while also keeping in mind that it is going to go to one person with very specific environments and goals and all of that. I'm basically blown away by all the things you have to consider all at once. I'm kind of glad I don't have Josh's job, I guess, because it sounds kind of impossible, Josh.
Well, we've got a great team and a lot of experience on the Avid side. So, you know, it's not just me and my people sitting in a tiny room. We put our designs out for the sales team to review, and that there's a depth of experience there. So we're open to input from all sides.
I was just putting Josh on the spot, because it just seems like you have so many stakeholders. You've got the funding source who wants to pay as little as possible, and everybody else wants as much as possible from that power chair. And it just seems like you have so many people all trying to get your attention at once. It's pretty amazing that you can field all those questions and requests while also thinking things like, I sure would be nice if my tech could just get in and out of that service call really quickly. So Brett and Josh, thank you for being with me today to talk about this new fresh perspective on designing power wheelchairs. I really appreciate your time and your input on these questions.
Thank you, Lori. It was a pleasure.
And with that, we'll wrap up this podcast with Brett Tracy and Josh Haynes from Merit's Health Products. My thanks to Merit's Health Products for sponsoring our podcast. Mobility management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes is to subscribe. You can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thank you very much for being with us, and we'll be back again here soon.